All right. I blew it. Came out at the wrong time. We're off to a good start this morning. Can you please turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2? Colossians chapter 2. Not only did I come out at the wrong time, but I discovered that I can't count. The title to my sermon says, One Old Symbol and Two New. It was really supposed to be Two Old Symbols and Two New. It's what happens when I do work at another job full time, and so, I'm working on my sermon during the week. So about halfway through the week, after I've already handed in the sermon title, I realized that I needed to add another number there, but that's what happens. Colossians chapter 2. Start at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he sets aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would speak through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, around 4,000 years ago, God chose one man, Abraham, to be the start of a new nation. A nation dedicated to following God. God made a covenant, which is a binding contract or a promise, with Abraham and his descendants. Now, God wanted there to be a symbol or a sign of the covenant. He wanted his people to be marked in some way to show that they were different than all the other people of the earth. For this symbol, God chose circumcision. Now, it seems a little odd to us, but it was something visible, it was something permanent, it was something physical. The bodies of the Israelite men would be different for their whole lives. Circumcision set Israelites apart. It declared to the world that they were the people of God. It became a big part of their cultural identity. They were the circumcised ones. All the others were the uncircumcised people. And the fact that it's part of their cultural identity actually continues to this day. In spite of the fact that almost everyone gets circumcised now as a part of, just a standard medical procedure, they still view circumcision as a large part of their cultural identity. Strong practicing Jews do. In fact, they have this whole area of their culture that we just don't experience. I discovered this from a professor who went to Hebrew College, Hebrew Union, and with a bunch of Jewish people, discovered that they all have circumcision jokes. And none of us tell circumcision jokes, for the most part. And I'm not going to really tell any this morning. In our culture, they would be considered crude, probably. In their culture, it's just normal. I mean, circumcision is something that sets them apart. It's a normal, standard part of their culture. People talk about it. And so circumcision jokes are just kind of standard fare.
If you want to hear more about that, you can talk to me afterwards. John, you can just forget everything I just said when you listen to this recording. All right.
So it's a big part of their cultural identity to be circumcised. But actually, it's something far deeper than that. Circumcision was symbolic of something that was supposed to go on in the hearts of the people of God. They were supposed to be circumcising their hearts. In other words, they were supposed to be cutting off their connection with the sinful pagan world around them. They were supposed to be cutting off all connection to sin and idolatry. Now, the Israelites could never get it right. They were always falling back into sin and idolatry. Circumcision was supposed to be a physical separation that was supposed to be symbolizing a spiritual separation in the hearts of the people of God. Circumcision was supposed to symbolize putting to death the old ways of sin. But actually, it was something even deeper than that. As you can see in the passage before us, circumcision pointed forward to Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Look at Colossians 2, verse 11. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The death of Christ on the cross was like a circumcision. He did not just cut off a piece of his flesh, his whole body was put to death. Jesus was totally putting an end to any connection that he had to sin. Now, it wasn't that he himself sinned, but he took our sin upon himself. Look at verse 14. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. It's like our sin and our guilt was placed on his body. When his body was nailed to that cross, our sin and our guilt and the debt that we owed was nailed to the cross with him. When his body died, our sin and our guilt and debt died with him. It has all been cut off. When we trust in Christ, we become connected with him. It is as if we are in him. In fact, in my translations, those are the first two words of verse 11 there. In him. It is like a paper inside of a book. Paper. Book. When I lift the book up, the paper goes with it. When I drop the book down, the paper goes with it. If I were to burn the book, the paper would burn with it. So it is when we are in Christ. When he died, we died. Look at verse 12 and 13. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. You can see that when he was buried, we were buried. When he was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead to a new life. When we believe in Jesus, our old spiritual self, with all of its sin, guilt, shame, debt, and all of its other baggage, is nailed to the cross with Jesus. It is buried with him. And spiritually, we walk out of the tomb alive, remade, reborn, and able to live the way that God wants us to live. In other words, excuse me. In other words, God circumcises our hearts. What the Israelites could never accomplish on their own, God accomplished for them and for us through the death and resurrection of his Son. Where there was a symbolic circumcision, a physical cutting off, now we have the spiritual reality. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ bringing about the circumcision of our hearts. Excuse me. Circumcision is now no longer a symbol. I'll survive. Don't everybody worry about me here. Just listen. Circumcision is now no longer the symbol of God's people. It has been replaced by baptism. Like circumcision, baptism is a public declaration. It says that we are different. When you get baptized, you are saying to the world that you are a follower of God. You are one of the baptized people, and everyone else, they're the unbaptized people. But it is deeper than that. Baptism is a physical picture of everything we have been talking about. Look at the beginning of verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism. Baptism is like a drama or a mime. when the person is put under the water, it's as if they have died. And they've been buried. When they are pulled out of the water, it is as if they have been raised to life, to a new life. I opened up the baptistry this morning so I could just picture it for you. So when someone's baptized, they sink down below view, right? Like they've been buried. And then they're raised up to a new life. It is a picture of dying with Christ and rising with Him. When we are in Christ, what happens to Christ happens to us. We die, we are buried, and we are raised. Perhaps this is not true of you. Perhaps you know that you are dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. You have not broken your connection with this sinful world. I'll wait for the cup train. Thank you. Yes, perhaps you know that you are dead in your trespasses and your sins. Perhaps you know that you are still connected to this sinful world. You have not broken off that connection. You are trapped in sin and in death. Well, now is the time to trust in Jesus. Let Him take your sin, your guilt, and your shame. Let Him nail it to the cross. Let Him take it to the grave with Him. Let Him take your whole past to the grave. Wash away the whole past of your life. Let God raise you to a new life. If this is a step you want to take, then speak to me afterwards and keep listening. There's going to be more to this message, even when I leave here. If you have trusted in Christ, but you have not taken the step of publicly declaring your faith in baptism, now is the time to do it. I don't mean right this instant. But speak to me afterwards. Or speak to one of the elders. God has actually commanded you to be baptized. Do not be ashamed. Show the world that you are a follower of Christ. And if you are a believer and you have been baptized, don't take your baptism lightly. Do not lose sight of what baptism means. It is a symbol that is meant to remind us of a deeper reality. Now, I have two more symbols to discuss this morning. We discussed circumcision, one of the old symbols, baptism, one of the new symbols, and then we're going to discuss two more symbols. But first, we're going to sing.